17. I was, of course, living with my mother. Her boyfriend at the time was doing things that he had no business doing with her daughter. Not voluntarily. It was, you know, a lot of hurt was distributed by that man, and trauma. And so I finally said something. I told, you know, you're supposed to tell. And when I told her, I didn't even tell her initially. I told my job. I was working at the YMCA, and they had me speak to somebody about it with Child Protective Services. And I told, and we're talking about it. And my mother, you know, is a charmer. And she's telling them, no, she's a teenager. She's just lying. She's trying to cause problems. You know how teenagers can be, blah, blah, blah. And so they left. They left, right? Which is what they did a lot of. They helped once, and then after that, they just kept leaving. And so she picks me up from school, and she's talking to me, and she's like, you know, what's going on? What is being said? Blah, blah, blah. He's in the car. She picks me up with him in the car. And she goes, she asked me everything that happened, and I told her everything. And he's like, Nicole, why are you lying? Like, he had the nerve to look at me and say, why are you lying? I've never disrespected an adult. I've never cussed at an adult. Up until that moment, I was 17, I cussed him out. I cussed him out. And that day, she took me over to my grandmother's house, which is her mother. She had me sleep over there. And she picked me up the next day. Let me tell you, my grandmother, she was a piece of work. God rest her soul. But she was like, well, what am I supposed to do with her when I go to work? My mother said, put her outside. Now, this is January, February time frame, right? Florida's not cold, but it is during January, February for people that are from Florida, because you're not used to any kind of weather that is below 70 degrees, right? And so, and in the winter months, it gets cold. It gets down like in the early morning, you're like 50s, 60s, you know, which is cold for us. My grandmother had to leave for work at 4 a.m. I heard her say this to my mother, so I unlocked her back door. Little did she know, right? But she would have left me outside in the cold to wait for my mother until she came at about 7:30, 8 o'clock. So my mother came to pick me up. And acted like nothing happened. That first day, she had like nothing happened. So she had to work that same day. So she brings me home, has to go to work, leaves me at this house with this man that I just told was doing things to me. She I lock my door, and all night this man is knocking on my door, drunk, asking me to open the door. All night. I leave for school the next morning by climbing out my window. He did not go to work. When I came home from school, my mother looked at me and she said, "Stop causing problems or leave." So I left. She said, "I'm gonna give you an hour to decide what you want to do." And I already knew. I knew the moment she asked me that what I was gonna do. So I spent that last hour with my brothers because I didn't know if the next time I was gonna see him. I left to a friend's house. She dropped me off at my friend's house. Then she told my friend's mom that I can spend the night, but after that I gotta go because otherwise she's harboring a runaway. My mother, I don't know what was wrong with this woman. She didn't want me there, but she did not want me anywhere else. So everywhere I went, she would call people and say, "She can't stay here. She can't stay there," you know. And I was at my wit's end. I didn't know where I was going to stay. Nobody wants to get in trouble for some girl, you know, it's not their kid. I called up the first ex-husband, right? We were still dating. Told him what was going on, but he was acting like he couldn't have me stay there. He was like, "I'll figure out something, but you can't stay here." And it was really odd because it's just supposed to be him and his roommates. So I contact the two guys that introduced me to him because we're all supposed to be friends, right? So they're like, "Well, yeah, you can stay here, but for a fee." And right before telling me I could stay there, they then tell me how my first ex-husband is in fact truly engaged, has this girl pregnant, and she's living with him. And that's when I broke it off with my first ex-husband, right? So I'm scrambling, trying to find ways. They're telling me all of this stuff. And then they're like, "Yeah, you can stay, but you're going to have sex with us," essentially. There are two cousins. One of them had a girlfriend. One of them didn't. I stayed there for like a week. It wasn't long. But I couldn't stay. I couldn't stay there. So I left there and I went to another friend's house. I stayed there for a little bit until I got to Tampa, where I went to my best friend that I had known. I don't even know how long I lived there, but it was a few years. Like, they had known me since I was a little kid. Like, at least since I was like 9, right? Maybe even probably about 9 or 10. And so the mom, you know, of course, calls my mother to say, "You know, I just want you to know she's okay. She's here." She tells them the same thing. She can't be there. Put her on a bus, bring her back to Orlando, blah, blah, blah. So I have a ticket at the bus station waiting for me to go back to Florida where she's supposed to, or go back to Orlando where she's supposed to pick me up. And they drop me off. They see me get on the bus. I go towards, like, I'm walking there. I wait till they're like walking back to the car, cut the corner, goes. I'm hiding in this other area waiting for my ex-boyfriend that I had met with the girl when I was 13. The one that, you know, when you asked me when I first started getting into boys, it was this guy I had met through her. And he was supposed to be like my first love, right? It was just teenage stuff, right? We had never done anything. It was never really like a relationship. But I called him. He came to get me. And I stayed at his house for a while. And then I was really depressed. I was really down. I was really, really down. I had finally gotten a job, but I was just like, is this what my life is going to be like? You know, like, I wasn't raised to, like, live with somebody's mom and be working at a, I'm not offending anyone because I know we live in a day and age where everybody gets offended over everything, but I was not raised. I was raised to go to college. I was raised to do certain things. And here I am working at a, in the mall, wondering what in the world am I going to do with my life. And I went on my lunch break and I'm feeling down and I went to eat a gyro and put it up to my mouth and didn't even hit my mouth. And I just threw up everywhere, everywhere. I was so embarrassed. I was so humiliated. I was like, I'm so sorry. And went home or went, you know, to the ex-boyfriend's house. And, he was like into like Ativan and ecstasy and all that other stuff. And I think that's some of the stuff I was thinking about. I'm like, I'm not around this. Right. And so, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. And then I had literally given up. I was like, this is my life. You know, this is what I've heard my life was going to be like all my life anyway. So this is my life. This is the life I'm supposed to have. This is, you know, I grew up hearing, you know, you're going to have a bunch of kids by a bunch of different men. Like, one minute it's, you got to go to college. You got to do this. You got to do that. Like, this is stuff I'm supposed to do, right? And then on the other level, it's, you're going to be a werewolf for the rest of your life, have a bunch of kids by a bunch of different men. You're not going to amount to anything. So I'm here. And then every time I would walk in the house, so his mom smoked. And every time I walk in the house, I would get nauseous and wasn't like, it just wasn't good. Like, I would, like, there were symptoms that I'm pregnant, you know? And I couldn't think on when was the last time I had a period. I had been going through so much. A period was like the last thing on my mind. It didn't dawn on me that I had missed like several periods. And so I went to a Family Dollar and I was right around the corner, hopping fences. At that time I wore baggy clothes anyways. I was a big tomboy. So I got a pregnancy test, slipped it in my pocket and left, right? I didn't have any money. And sorry, Family Dollar, don't persecute me for the $5 pregnancy test. I will give you the $5 back. But I went and took the test. It said it was positive. It said I'm pregnant. And I was like, nah, it's a defective one because I stole it. Like, had I not stole it and I would have paid for it, it would have said that I wasn't pregnant. The mind of a 17-year-old, okay? So after doing the test, there was something, I threw up something else. And I had never really, I don't throw up. So I'm like, all right. Maybe I should really go get tested. So I go to a clinic, and the first time I'm at the clinic, I hear my child's heartbeat. That heartbeat was everything to me. I didn't even know who was in there, but I knew I'd be better. I had nothing to live for. And I didn't care. So when I say that little girl gave me purpose, she gave me purpose. She gave me a reason. And I had this dream of my first ex-husband, myself, and this little kid in all white in a swing. And it was a girl. Like, she had a dress on. Like, it was like the kid had a dress on. Could not see the kid's face. But me, him, this child, and a swing. And keep in mind, I had not thought about this man since I stopped dealing with him that day when I'm trying to find somewhere to live. So I'm not, I threw out his number. I had no contact, right? Because when I dead you, I dead you. And I woke up. I had to call my best friend at the time. I was like, hey, so do you know his number? Because I don't have his number. I'm telling her I'm pregnant. I can't find his pager number. Pager number, right? And I guess she had called his pager for me before, so she found it. She paged him for me. He called me. I answer the phone. He's like, hey, someone call such and such. And I'm like, hey, so literal phone call conversation, okay? Of course, phones didn't look like this, but hey, so I'm pregnant. It's yours. I don't want anything from you. Just thought you should know. All right, bye. And as I was getting ready to hang up, he's like, wait. We were trying to make it work. And then I found out I was pregnant. And I was devastated. Because I wasn't ready to have another child. I was on birth control. But I tell people all the time, the way I was when I was pregnant with each child, right? So I was still very quiet and very non-argumentative. But I would tell you exactly what I was thinking, how I was thinking it, when I was thinking it. I guess zero cares. I started like dressing up a little bit more with her, and she's very girly girl. She would only let me eat pasta. No pork. I couldn't even smell pork, and no beef. Oh, made me sick. But during the time of my pregnancy with my second child is when I actually started wanting some independence. In my marriage, I didn't drive. In my marriage, I didn't have a key to my house, so I couldn't leave unless he left with me. In my marriage, I couldn't cook because he felt like I couldn't cook. He didn't want to teach me anything, so he cooked. I had to like really argue about working because I just wanted to get out. Like, because I used to have to ask for deodorant, ask for lotion. And I didn't want to ask too much because I didn't want to upset him, not out of fear of him hurting me or anything like that. I grew up in a household where I was a bother. And I didn't want to bother him so much that he would not love me. So there were still things I was finding out. That fiance he had and I finally talked. I learned a lot about a lot of the lies that were told to me. So it was like those rose-colored glasses were starting to become a little more clear. I was just going in a circle, and I saw that I was going in a circle. I was still working at a mall. And then 6 months after having her, we moved to Illinois, which was like a fresh start. Got really heavy into church, really heavy into church. And I think that was because, one, it was like people I got to meet, you know, like I got to do, I got to feel useful. And then I wanted my kids to be raised in a community like that. I wanted that for my family. And I don't know if I thought church would like save us. I don't know why I was so big in the church. It was just what I needed at that time.
Are you big into it now?
No, I don't go to church. I went to several churches in Texas that really put a distaste in my mouth. And I will say there was one in Illinois that I went to, and there was one in Maryland that I went to, and both of those felt like home. I have conversations with God. I think the final straw of me going to church is when a pastor tried to tell me what God was telling him for my life. And I was like, well, God and I ain't having that conversation. I was like, so I told him, says, I'll tell you what, you tell God to come talk to me about your vision for my life. Because I was in my second marriage. And we were not going well. We were not going well. And I knew we weren't going well. And he kept trying to tell us we needed to buy a house. I knew I wasn't going to be with that man much longer. So I knew we were not supposed to be getting a house. And he kept trying to tell me God wanted me to have a house. I said, God doesn't want me to have a house. No, he doesn't. I know he doesn't. Because... that would be a desire of my heart, and that's not a desire I have. So, that, and I had one that was very prejudgmental. It was a lot, you know. I think with my personality and the type of men that I have married, they're very charismatic. They can, people believe them. And I've never fought on any story they've ever told about me. I've never even explained my version of what happened. I've never explained. I let people think what they want to think and believe what they want to believe, because at the end of the day, it's my life. I'm living it. And I can spend every day, all day trying to prove to people what happened versus what is saying has been happened, or I could just not care. So there are many people that have a lot of judgments about, especially my first marriage. Believe it or not, I've even been messaged recently by people that knew us both in Illinois that have questioned things that they know nothing about. And I could only think they're either statements being said about me, or I don't know. Cause I think if we go baby mama, right? Like, I am the easiest one there is. I don't call you. I don't ask for anything. And I don't care. I'm raising my kids. I just think I think my personality is very strong. So when people can say things about me, it's believable because I am so strong sometimes. And so there was a situation with a pastor where he assumed I was the reason for the marriage failing when had nothing to do with me. So yeah, that's why I left churches, because, you know, they're pastors are human too, and I'm not discrediting that, but if I'm gonna be judged, I'm gonna be judged by the one that can judge me, not by someone that's supposed to be there for me. The third child was born in Illinois. I had just gotten into college. I had said I was not, like, I needed to do something. I was not going to keep doing the thing. I was working at a Christian bookstore. Yeah, I had taken Christianity to a whole new level. I was committed. For me, anyway, it's a whole new level. But I was working at a Christian bookstore. And I was going to school. I was like, okay, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to make something of myself. I was getting nauseous. I couldn't swallow my saliva. It was terrible. That's how I felt. I went home. I was like, I'm pregnant. I know I'm pregnant. I went and bought a test. It said positive. I was so bad. I took the stick, slammed it on the thing next to him, so that we could see it, and walk back in the room. Was on birth control. I was so mad. But and he was conceived on my birthday. So I was devastated that I was pregnant. I did not want another child, but I did not believe in abortions. But my belief was, if I'm going to do something that has the result of a child, then you know what? I'm going to take care of my child. So, plus we're married. That child would not let me drink anything but Sprite the whole 9 months. I couldn't have anything sugary, which is really weird because I could have Sprite, right? only thing I can have for, like, I remember for 3 months straight was chicken noodle soup, and it had to be a particular brand. And oh, that pregnancy was the roughest, okay? But you couldn't tell me I wasn't fine. That pregnancy, I thought I was so cute. I was big as hell, but I thought I was so cute. I remember one of our mutual friends was like, how you're ready to go any day now, huh? I was only like 5 months pregnant. I was so mad. But my son gave me a butt. Forever thankful.
So you have three children, single by choice. What is Nicole doing with her life?